Hello and welcome to a sermon podcast of Hennepin Avenue United Methodist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota, a faith community based on vibrant worship, authentic hospitality, and beloved community. To learn more about our congregation, visit us online at hennepinchurch.org. This is a sermon podcast for February 8th, 2015. The preacher is Reverend Kent Millard, and the scripture today is Matthew 13, 53 through 58.
When Jesus had finished these parables, he left that place. He came to his hometown and began to teach the people in their synagogue, so that they were astounded and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these deeds of power? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? But where did this man get all this?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their own country and in their own house." And he did not do any deeds of power there because of their unbelief. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, help us to become masters of ourselves, that we might be the servants of others. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. A few years ago, DreamWorks Studio produced a movie entitled Prince of Egypt. It was about the life of Moses. And the theme song in that movie had these words: "There can be miracles when you believe. Who knows what miracles God can achieve when we believe?" And the movie is about the miracles God worked through Moses because of his faith and his belief. This morning, I would like to have us think about the relationship between our faith, our trust in God, and God's power to work miracles in this world. Now, Jesus was first known as a miracle worker. People came to see him, not first to hear him teach or preach. They came because he healed people. Matthew says, sick people from all over Galilee gathered around Jesus, and he touched them and healed hundreds of people. When you're reading the Gospels, on almost every page, there's a healing or some sort of a miracle that Jesus did. He was known as a miracle worker. However, did you know there's one place in the Gospels where Jesus did no miracles? The text we just read from Matthew's Gospel. See, Jesus grew up in Nazareth, and when he became an adult at about age 30, he was baptized by John in the Jordan, went, had his wilderness temptation experiences to misuse his power, overcame those temptations, and then he actually moved to Capernaum, a city on the coast of the Sea of Galilee. And that's where he called the disciples to follow him. That was his headquarters, his base for making his mission in Galilee. Then on one kind, he was invited to come back to Nazareth, his hometown. And he came on the Sabbath. He was invited to preach in the synagogue. He preached from the book of Isaiah. And then afterwards, the people in his hometown's response was this: "Who does he think he is? We know him. This is Jesus. We saw him growing up as a little boy in town. We saw him as a teenager. We know he's the carpenter's son. He's not trained as a rabbi. His mother's Mary. His brothers and sisters are here in Nazareth. Who does he think he is to speak with words of wisdom and deeds of power?" And it says they were offended at him. They were upset with him. Luke adds that they were so upset that they took him out to a cliff and tried to throw him over the cliff and got to get rid of him, but he escaped. And then at the end of that passage, I think Matthew puts these very significant words: "And Jesus did no miracles in Nazareth, Why? Because of their unbelief. Think about that. People didn't believe. They were negative. They were cynical. They were pessimistic. And the healing powers did not come to them. Now, there were probably sick people in Nazareth. There were probably people who needed the healing power of Christ and need miracles. Didn't happen there. Only place in the gospel it didn't happen. Because of their unbelief. This morning I want to think about what are the miracles that are not happening in our lives because of our unbelief. You see, it's so easy for us to become cynical and negative and pessimistic. We think we're so realistic that we can't believe in anything, that God can still do anything in this world. And that very belief becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If we say it can't happen, it can't happen. Some people say, I won't believe it till I see it. But the truth is, you won't see it till you believe it. You see, belief comes first. You have to believe in the possibility of miracles. You have to be the open channel for God. My image is that the light of God is all around us, always. But until we open our hearts and trust, open our minds and believe, we are not a channel, a possibility for God's healing power to come in the world. I had an experience that I may have shared with some of you, but for me it was a very life-shaping experience of several years ago that helped me understand the relationship between belief and miracles. I'd been appointed as pastor at First United Methodist Church in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. When I got there, they had just completed a building project, built a new education building, and remodeled a sanctuary and put in a new organ. And they had some debt. The trustee or the finance committee called it uncovered debt. That means we don't have any way to pay for this. We need $200,000 more. And so my first finance committee, they said, okay, what's your plan for raising this $200,000? So I said, well, actually, I had read recently about a thing called Miracle Sunday, where you set one Sunday and just take a special offering and receive an amount to cover the need. And they said, do you think we could take a special offering in this church and receive $200,000 on one Sunday? And I said, well, yes. Have you ever said anything at a committee and they look at you like they know you're crazy, but they're afraid to say it? The finance chair then said, I know the giving patterns in this church. Raising $200,000 on one Sunday is impossible. It would just never happen. And I said, would it be a miracle? He said, well, yes, it'd take a miracle. I said, that's good because we're people who believe in miracles, aren't we? We believe that God, all things are possible. So let's try it. Let's call it Miracle Sunday, and we'll just invite everyone to give on that Sunday whatever they feel God calls them to give, and it'll be $200,000, and the miracle will be done. I thought that sounded like a good plan. So they decided to do this. We set Palm Sunday that year as Miracle Sunday. And so all during Lent, we were going to talk about miracles, how God is still at work in the world, how God has not given up on the world. Miracles still happen all the time, those of the eyes to see and ears to hear. And I wanted people to hear some testimonies about miracles. One Sunday, we had a young couple share with the congregation that they had been married about 10 years, wanted to have children, could not, been to fertility specialists, and were told they simply couldn't conceive. And then, while they were telling that story, they were holding their three-month-old baby in their arms and crying. So this baby is a miracle. We weren't supposed to have children, but we do. And we give thanks to God. Another Sunday, a man who struggled with cancer spoke, and he said, I was diagnosed with incurable cancer and given a year to live. He smiled real broadly and said, that was 10 years ago. So when I go back to the doctor says, I don't know how you're still here. He said, I just give thanks to God. Miracles still happen. Now, that does not mean that everyone who is infertile will have children or everyone who has cancer will be cured. It simply means we always have to keep the possibility open, to keep a little window of faith, keep the door cracked a little bit. Jesus said, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, just a little faith, great things can happen. So instead of being cynical and saying, no, it can't happen, Just say it's possible. Now, the hardest part of Miracle Sunday was getting people to believe it's possible. The chief unbeliever was our finance chairperson. He was an MBA, very logical, brilliant guy. And when people would ask him, Greg, do you think we can raise $200,000 in one Sunday? He would say, no. But, you know, it'll be whatever we raise will be good, but it won't be $200,000. And I said, Greg, could you just not say no? Could you say maybe? Possibly. It could happen. Can you just leave open a little glimmer of faith for God to do something? Don't shut the door on God. Then Greg said, I can't say that because I know it's not true. Well, about a week before Miracle Sunday, I got a call from Greg. He said, something's happening to me. In my mind, I know it's impossible. But he said, my heart wants to believe it's possible. He said, this could actually happen. I said, that's all we want, is the finance chair to believe. And then a few days before Miracle Sunday, I received a letter in the mail with a very generous check from a Lutheran woman in Sioux Falls. And she said, I heard you're doing a Miracle Sunday in your church. I've always wanted to be a part of a miracle. Here's my gift. A Baptist pastor called me the day before Miracle Sunday. And he said, we need more miracles in the world. So I want you to know that in our church on Sunday morning, we're praying for a miracle in the Methodist church. Go figure. When we got up that Sunday morning, I told the congregation, I said, Greg now believes this is possible. A Lutheran woman has sent a generous gift, and the Baptist church is praying for us. I said, the miracle's already happened. We took the offering early in the service, and we sent it out to have it counted. At the end of the third service, our lay leader came gliding down the center aisle with a slip of paper in her hand. It had written on it the number, $210,000 was given today. I have to tell you, I had been preaching belief in this miracle. I had been talking about it. But when it actually happened, I was overwhelmed. I was surprised. I mean, I thought, wow, it really did happen. People started crying. We sang to God be the glory. And we knew it wasn't us. It wasn't our strategy. It wasn't our wisdom. It wasn't our determination. It was just opening up the possibility and believing that with God, all things are possible. And what happened in the congregation in terms of deepening of faith was more important probably than what happened financially. Because people who had been kind of cynical and negative, it sort of turned something in their life. Church attendance went up. Bible study attendance went up. People wanted to know more about this God who still does miracles. Now, you can't guarantee they're going to happen. But all you can do is keep open the possibility. And I'll have to tell you, it deepened my faith. It made me believe more in the power of faith and trust in God. And to really realize that it is true, with God, all things are possible. I know we live in a cynical time, a time when there's so much criticism and negativity and pessimism, it just seems to permeate us, doesn't it? But we're those people who believe that no matter how bad things may be, God is still God. And with God, all things are possible. So we are the people who never give up hope on anybody or any situation. As you probably are aware, mainline churches around the nation are in decline. In Minnesota, all around the nation, many churches, there's some are growing, but most are losing members, and Hennepin is like that. Over the last decade, we always lose more members to death. They're moving away than we receive. So recently, I was talking with a long-term member of the church, and he talked about this decline that we've been experiencing with everybody else. And he said, do you think it can be changed? I said, well, oh, yes, I can. He said, well, it would take a miracle. That's what he said. I said, isn't it good that we're people who believe in miracles? We're the ones who God does miracles through. So I just encourage all of us, When you ever hear these negative conversations about the church, just say, yes, but with God all things are possible. That we don't know how God's going to turn it around. We don't know how God's going to do it. But we don't give up belief on it. We believe that with God, everything can change. I want to ask you, what miracles do you need in your life now? Is there some heartfelt desire that you really feel, I really wish this would happen? Have you taken it to God? Now, it doesn't mean you pray once and it's supposed to happen. That's not how it works. But you just keep surrendering, trusting. And then sometimes things happen that shock you. How did this happen? And all you can do is say, thank you, God. God is always in the miracle-working business. Jesus did no miracles in only one place, his hometown of Nazareth, because of their unbelief, their cynicism and negativity. He didn't do miracles there. And I just invite all of us not to be like the people of Nazareth, but more like the people in Capernaum and Cana and other places who believed in the possibility. And when they believed in the possibility, then the door opened and miraculous things happened in their lives. There can be miracles when we believe. Who knows what miracles God can achieve when we believe? Let us pray. Our loving God, we thank you for your living presence around us as a creator, sustainer, redeemer for all of us. We thank you for the gift of Jesus, the way he taught us to live, to trust, to surrender, and how you work through him in performing miracles. Help us to be among those people who believe, who trust, even when we don't know how it's going to happen. We trust that with you, all things are possible. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the Festival Worship Sermon Podcast of Hennepin Avenue United Methodist Church in Minneapolis. Please join us for worship on Sunday. Worship times are available at hennepinchurch.org. Opening and closing music is Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing by Charles Wesley and performed by Daniel Peterson. This podcast is a ministry of Hennepin Avenue United Methodist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Copyright 2015.